This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Glad you made it.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman in Tower. Tonight on the show, it is here that as a Christian, we find ourselves in the same book and on the same page as Israel and her promises. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 10th day of November, 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 23, starting at verse 1 through chapter 25, verse 18, 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 31, and the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1 through chapter 9, verse 38. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to check out the recommended reading on our sites. And here are some of the articles. In Getting Understanding, get this, Choice, Chance, and Consequence. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Rural Thanksgiving, Turkey, Prayer, and Family. Every holiday, like Thanksgiving, the family would gather. Grandma and Grandpa from the farm, Mom and Dad and me. It was a wonderful time to give thanks, to share this within the family, and look to Almighty God for His blessings. Even today, I urge everyone to give thanks. The Stanchion of Liberty, Fundamental Truths of an American on America. Liberty is the focus, and the rights of the people is included in that. Yet, as Justice Thomas said recently, we have plenty of pluribus, but no unum. In other words, no unity. But everyone pushing their independent view. On the eve of Thanksgiving and the approaching December holidays of Hanukkah and Christmas, I bring this post to you. It is from the archives of the WIBR Warn Radio site, and today it has much to say regarding the America we now live in. Those are articles from The Watchman. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles. You can follow Warn Radio and The Watchman by going to Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, BMO, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR Warn Radio events, shows, and more. To follow us on Twitter, look for hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in The Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm glad it's Friday. I'm thankful to be here. It's good. I've missed it. I miss it when we're not.
Yes, I'm glad we're here, too. And we are, 10 days into November. And Thanksgiving's not too far away. The thing that we're looking at is, we're going to be through 2017.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, it is. I'm amazed at how fast time goes.
Oh, me too.
And,
it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. And so at any rate, we welcome you. We want to remind you, too, my new book is out, and we're getting set up. We'll be sending out press releases next week. We are having a sweepstakes given away. You can get a copy of the book, and all you need to do is qualify for the sweepstakes. And you can find out how to do that by going to either warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. On the Warren Radio site, the warren-usa.com site, just find the advertisement, the thing that shows the book, and there's a little line in there about signing up for the sweepstakes. And on Dana Glenn Smith, the page is right at the top of Dana Glenn Smith. Click on that page. It'll have a big picture of the book. And a matter of fact, it'll be on that, the front, the top part of that article. It'll have a link as well. And so we are, you know, this thing is going to be available pretty much around the world. And it's already.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And. It's on Barnes & Noble already, and it's on Amazon already. Ingram is carrying it with all of their stuff. So, and we also have it on Kindle. So you can find it over on Amazon as well. We do publish a lot of our own stuff, and we publish it through various means. Our WIBR Warren Media is an outreach where we do, I should say I do, writing and articles and producing these things, we put them up there. So the press release is going to go out next week. We're going to have more information on the book. We do have a media packet for all those who are interested in participating in an interview with us and things like that. We're just going to, we're just really getting started with this whole thing. So this is one book in a series of books that I want to write on this particular thing. So be sure to check it out. And, you know, you can get over on Barnes & Noble. We have the Nook, which is also the EPUB version. And then, of course, Amazon has the Kindle version. So we have two different mobile versions. One is Nook from Barnes & Noble, and the other one is Kindle from Amazon. And so you'll be able to find out about all these things. And if you have any other questions, I urge you to go over to danaglennsmith.com and click on that featured page at the top of that Dana Glenn Smith. It'll be about the book. That'll take you to a landing page with all the information about the book and where you can find it. So at any rate, that's about the book. We are, you know, looking at a number of other things in the process. We're, of course, winding down from 2017. And things have kind of changed, you know, Tower. When we had 8 years of Obama, you know, people, there was a lot of conservatives that, and I didn't like his policies at all. And now the shoe's on the other foot. So
yep.
Now, you know, you have the liberals and the Democrats who hate Trump, who thinks we're at the beginning of the apocalypse.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So you really have the shoe on the other foot, because during Obama, it was all the conservatives who thought that. Last night on the show, our 3-hour show on Thursdays, we talked about the war that's surely to come between Israel and Iran, and the Trump, how Trump really fits into all that. So these are important things you can. Of course, we are broadcasting through Spreaker, which goes through iHeart. And we are going to be working on getting an app for the iPhone. We have an Android app. And, of course, we've had a lot of people, a number of companies, contact me regarding promoting the app. And all that costs money to do that. You know, the bottom line of it is I have them all linked on our websites. If you want the app, just get the app, you know. I mean, you know, I'm not here to have everybody in the world get my app. I'm not charging for it. I've already paid the money for it. If you want the app, get the app. It's really a good way to get in on everything because I'm using the app as well to give forth 3 to 5 minute little bits that information and stuff like that on shows, little things that the Lord gives me, nuggets and things like that. And I broadcast those out. You never know when they're going to go out, but you know, you'll be able to hear them right now on Spreaker. And of course, the Spreaker apps are the radio player itself is on both of our websites, and so you'll be able, you can listen to it live there. And so, you know, the whole effort, of course, is to get the word out around the world, get the word into the smartphones and things like this. And of course, we have all of these things. We do a video of all the shows, and that's on our Vimeo video site, as well as our own websites have all the videos. So you can download, you know, the full audio on our website at warren-usa.com. We also have a whole other line of ways of carrying that out, because we do have another, what would you call it, another podcast partner that takes it off of our websites and sends it out. So we've got a lot of ways to get this word out, and so be sure to check it out, like all this stuff, and you know, help us get the word out. And but we are glad tonight is Shabbat.
Yes, we are.
And we like Shabbat. Whether or not you keep Shabbat, that's entirely up to you. You know, but we do do enjoy this, and so we're always glad. It's been particularly busy week. It's been busy. Things going by fast. We've been really busy because of the updates on the computers, because the Windows Fall Creators Update came out, and I updated all of our machines. We got quite a few that I have to update. And this will probably be the last update, more than likely, on at least one of our machines, because it's a smaller machine that I've had for quite a while. Microsoft came out and upgraded the requirements for getting their system. Of course, we don't have any problem with all of our stuff. But the big problem is that these updates have been a problem. And so we did have a problem last weekend, and so that's why we couldn't come on. I spent, you know, a long time, several days through Friday, from Wednesday through Friday, getting the thing taken care of, and then I had to tweak it and do a bunch of other stuff for a couple more days. And so we got that going, and that's why we can broadcast tonight. And but that's the way it is, you know. And so wherever you're at and whenever you listen, we've always had people listening from around the world. We've always had people listening at different times. So we're talking to a bunch of you. That we're glad you join us. We're glad you listen. And remember, you can get a hold of us on Facebook. You can... And I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but we got a number of Facebook pages. We've got several websites. We're on Google, where we have a YouTube thing. All the stuff on Spreaker automatically get posted to our YouTube channel because they make it into a video. So, you know, we don't have anything to do with that. They just automatically do that. So it goes out. It's hard to believe how many areas you can get this out at, you know?
Oh, I know. It's just incredible. It's amazing, this technology today.
Yeah. So at any rate, let's see, what else is going on? We talked, of course, about Israel last night. We talked about America's involvement and especially the backing of America now that Trump's in there. But, of course, Iran and Turkey, there's a lot of problems. Of course, today the people, you know, the liberals were all bothered Trump would shake hands and meet with Putin, you know, because you can't shake hands with Putin because that's a conspiracy.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. Well, Trump knocked a home run in China between him and his wife and his granddaughter.
That's exciting.
Yeah, his wife, Melania, she's a classy lady. Everywhere she goes, she wears, of course, they got money, and she's a model, so...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everywhere she goes, she doesn't look like a first lady. She looks like a model.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have Trump, and then you got his model wife, and then, of course, this little cute granddaughter, Jared Kushner and his wife. That was their daughter, and she learned Mandarin, and so that really thrilled the Chinese. And he made some good inroads while the liberals were castigating Trump. You know, and the Chinese even mentioned that. They said, we've been listening to all the liberals and those who hate Trump. But, you know, and they spoke glowingly, but Trump is, you know, they really spoke glowingly of Trump and the little girl and that it helped Chinese relationships. You know, yeah. And I was talking to the warrior about some of this last night. I think it was last night. And he was talking about... you know, this is really the biggest corporation that he's ever run, you know, worldwide global corporation.
Yeah. Excuse me. That's true.
Yeah, it is, you know, and so, you know, we just can't get away from that hating Trump thing right now. And it has kind of died down in the press and... of course, we continue to have, you know, Jeff Bezos, the world's richest man that owns Amazon, and he does a, you know, Amazon does a good job with a lot of things, you know, him getting in, buying the Washington Post, that was a mistake because he didn't do anything to change the liberal-leaning left-wing nutcases over there, and they've been, for a long time, feeding fodder. And the fodder was poison. And so I don't know if Bezos is going to get his act together in the Washington Post or not. But Bezos, if you're going to have the Washington Post or anything else, you need to make sure that at least you're fair.
Did you tell me that he owns that now?
Yeah, he owns that.
Good grief.
Well, you know, I mean, what's that when you're the world's richest man?
Oh, I know.
You know, and so, you know, and of course, he has a lot of power to make a lot of inroads, so. He started that in his garage. It's hard to believe it's worth so much. But, you know, it's just one of them things. I don't know. I mean, if you want something, you can usually find it on Amazon.
Yeah.
There's very few things I've looked for that I haven't found on Amazon. And when I couldn't find it anywhere else, Amazon had it.
Huh. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So at any rate, we're heading into 2018. And, you know, we got a ways to go here, but, you know, it's going to be here before you know it.
Oh, I know. Before I want it to be, I'm sure.
But see, get this. 2018 is only 2 years away from 2020.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of the Ziegler and Evans hit in the year 2525.
Oh, I remember that.
If man is still alive, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be in the year 2020. You know, and you just think, you know, they're talking about all the robots and the AI. It's really hot. You know, and of course, man is doing everything. You know, if you have some good stuff, technology, you also have these morons and their sex robots, and that's just been hot. They've been, I guess, ordering a bunch of that. That was on some of the main news. I read tech news because I'm teching so much.
It's disgusting is what it is.
You know, it just, things just nauseate me to no end on some of these things. And we do not carry all the news like we used to. I don't write news. I don't cover news. What we do on our prophecy news, we do cover a certain amount of them on that 1 hour, and after that we don't cover anymore. And up front will always be Christian persecution and related things like that, because we're not interested in covering this garbage that's going on. And I'm not going to get into a political debate over Trump, you know. I mean, you know, I'm just not going to get into some of these politics anymore. And the left wing, you know, these people are crazy. And then, of course, you got this, you know, these people think they can go out and go into churches and kill everybody in sight, like Devin. And, you know, and if it isn't Devin, it was that other guy that, I think he was a black guy that went into that church and shot up the place.
When was that?
Oh, it was before Devin did his thing.
Oh. Yeah, I think you're right.
And so, yeah, it's been a bit. And of course, you get into all this, and, you know, there's just so much of this garbage going on. You know, it just, you know, never wants to stop.
Just ramping up every day.
Yeah. You know, that's true. It is every day. It ramps up. So that's why, you know, we do what we do. And if you want to hear the Word of God, want to hear the truth, you need to be listening to Warren Radio.
Amen.
You know, that's just all there is to it. And you go by our websites, and I can tell you that our websites are some of the finest websites up there. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that everybody in the world wants to come to our websites. They don't, because we are a believer in Jesus Christ, Yahshua. You know, it is a Christian website. It has Christian themes. It has everything about that, and that's who we are and what we do. And my articles, you know, always involve you know, faith in one way or another. This book that I wrote also is a Christian fiction thriller, and so it's all what we do is to promote the values and the biblical Word of God that we believe is true for all faith and practice. It is infallible. It is the Word of God. And so if you don't like that kind of preaching, if you don't like that kind of website, then you're not going to like our websites or the shows. But, you know, I mean, we're not here for everybody in the world. We're not here to get rich. We're not here to do a lot of that. we're here to be faithful, and there are people that help us to be faithful. They help us. They pray for us, they've been there for us, and they know who they are. The bottom line of it is, if you need help, if you need guidance, if you want to know the truth, then you get to our websites. If you need help, you can contact us through any one of our social sites. You can contact us. I always tell them, go to our websites, contact us through the contact page. That's the best way to do it. Because this is, and of course, with this new app now, you can have this on your smartphone, and you can listen to these things anytime. And if you have our app, you will be able to tell, you'll be able to get this thing, when I do little updates or when I do a big show, when we do a big show. And so you can download it as you go. You can read these, do the whole nine yards. So, check it out. That's what we're here for. And so tonight, though, we're going to be discussing a good topic, the journey of promise. And we're going to be getting going on that here in a bit.
Okay, sounds good.
So is there anything else we need to cover before we get to this?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, let's do this then.
Okay, see you on the other side.
Okay. Journey of promise for both Christians and Jews. Of course, when you say that, there are Christians that don't like that, being, so close to the Jews in that, a little conjunction in between those, the word and. But both Jews and Christians have a common ancestor in Abraham and in Moses and the prophets. The promises of God that was given to Abraham, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. We believe God, and it's imputed unto us for righteousness' sake through Christ because of the cross. And, of course, that's the blood of the covenant. And so we are in part two now. And in John 16:32 through 33, it says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Now he's telling his sheep, those people around him, especially his apostles, that there was going to be an hour. This is what is known as the hour of darkness. And they were given, there was this time of darkness that would come, and that during that time he would go through all the prophecies concerning the suffering servant. He was going to die on the cross. And of course, when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep are scattered, and they became scattered. And so that's what he's talking about here. And he says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Now you see, when we look at these scriptures, even though in John 16:32, he's speaking to those around him, he's speaking to his apostles, he's speaking of his coming trial. It starts in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was picked up, and it ends, in his tomb when Mary came to see him, and he was standing there, and she thought he was a gardener, and she tried to touch him after she found out. He said, "No, I have not risen to my Father." But at any rate, you get the idea. That's where it ended. The point here is that for you and me today, we can, look at these things, talking about promises made to us and how it relates to the Jewish heritage. We should say the heritage of the Torah itself, going back into the beginning, clear back to Abraham. And today we have been brought nigh because of Christ. And there is that line, that scarlet thread. There is that place where we can find a commonality. Now, there's one thing that, understand. Now, see here, he says that in me you might have peace. Now, we do have peace. Matter of fact, we've got the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. Just having the Lord will give us peace. He says, in the world you'll have tribulation. Now, you know, as a Christian, as a believer, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But there is coming a time called the Great Tribulation. And that's particularly something that we need to be dealing with. Something that many Christians do not want to talk about. But in fact, you're going to have to deal with that. And he says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And these are facts. You know, you can have peace in the Lord. Now, see, if you don't seek the Lord and continue in Him, you're not going to have peace. It's more than just a head knowledge. It's taking up your cross and following Him, being found in Him, abiding in Him. There's where that peace comes from. And, of course, He gives us of His Spirit as well, which is our comforter. And in the world you'll have tribulation. That's a statement of fact. Now that's not just spoken to those around him then. He was talking to those who believed in him at that time. And it also, that particular thing is extended when Pentecost occurred and Peter was preaching, and at the end of the second chapter of Acts, I think it's about verse 38, it says, and this promise is to all them who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we are part of that, as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are in the end of days, and we are coming to a time that's going to happen on the world that's going to be unlike anything else. And so what we do here at Warren Radio is prepare the masses for what's coming. I don't deal with, you know, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Because I'll tell you right now, 90-some percent of the Christians in the church today really have no idea when that's going to happen. The others think they do, but they don't know when it's going to happen. And in fact, many of them are expecting to get out of here before it even gets bad. Well, it's going to get bad, and you need to know some things. And that's what we at Warren Radio do, is bring you the word, help you out, get you prepared, help you to understand these things. Because, folks, the bottom line of it is we need to walk in more love towards one another. We need to help one another. We need to be united instead of divided. But we are a divided church. We really are. And they'll say, oh, no, we're not. Yes, we are. And, you know, the bottom line of it is today is that these things are coming. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:12 through 14, here's another one. Now, Paul's speaking to Timothy, says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, there is some stuff here, and as we talk about all this, you know, we are going to be getting into the fact of Israel being in Egypt and how a lot of those types come together. So make no mistake, what I'm giving you now is the precursor to Christians and what they're going to be facing. Okay, that's where we're at. And then when we're done with this, we're going to go into the Torah. We're going to go into the Pentateuch. We're going to discuss these things from the light of Israel's experience and the Word of God, and I'm going to show you where that journey of promise is and how it is like unto what we see, the types and the shadows. So be sure to stay with us here. Now, see, I think that's one of the biggest things we have here is to understand that, continuing in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, in the church, we're so far removed today from the early church. And much of what we've learned and been passed down has been passed down from man to man. And it's been that way for a long time. And the deception has entered in a long, long time ago, long before you were born, your granddad was born. It's been going on for a long time. There's been deception. There has been a twisting of the scriptures and falling away from some of the truth. And then, of course, there was some of the truth that was totally hidden until God began to reveal it slowly but surely again. And so now today we are in the end of days. We are facing very, very troublesome times like none other. It's a snare that's going to come on the earth. And you find out, as you probably already are aware of, that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, that doesn't mean people that aren't godly don't have problems. That's not what we're saying. We're dealing with this strictly from a Christian standpoint. And evil men and seducers, well, that's really, when we talk about evil men and seducers, Paul goes into depth about the perilous times and what the types, what they're going to be like, and that is just a gut-wrenching paragraph of scripture that just tells you everything that's going on and how evil they are and wicked, and you know, and when you look at society as a whole, you know, society as a whole isn't afraid to have religions and gods. But they do not like to have the true and the living God. They don't want that truth. And so the biggest thing that the church has to come up with is to keep the world out of the church. The pastors need to be on fire and not fall away, not given to temptation. The deacons need to be fasting and praying and not giving themselves into this. And the church needs to return to its first love. That is, if they ever had that first love. Now, you see, in Genesis 41, 38 through 45, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Now, of course, he's talking about Joseph. Joseph, of course, is well known because he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And he wound up being sold, you know, into Egypt. And God blessed him there. But before he ever got to the point of being the second in command, only second in command to the Pharaoh himself, Joseph had to suffer. He had to face an in-depth trial over a long period of time until the word had tried him. That's what scripture says. And so there is that trial, there is that trying before a man can get to that point. And Joseph, and in verse 39 says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this," because by now he's already told Pharaoh the dream. And the dream, of course, was that there was going to be a famine. It was going to last 7 years. And so Joseph becomes the administrator of the food and the one to make sure that everything goes according to plan. And he says, "And thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Now, he went from being an inmate in the prison to being the second in command to Pharaoh. Now, that is how he was raised up. And you don't see that overnight. You don't see that. And, of course, for the liberals, in when we talk about scripture, they'll just, well, these are just stories. No, they're about real people. They're real. And so the problem you really have in today's society is a people that have heard a lot of these for a long time. You have a turning away and a falling away from the truth, and they just convince themselves these are just stories. And then they end up convincing themselves that hell isn't real, that there is no such thing as a savior, they don't need a savior, and on and on and on and on. Deception comes in little bits. And in this world, people, don't see it coming. It comes up upon them a little bit at a time, and before they know it, they believe things that they would have never believed before. And it says in verse 41, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck." Now see, this is a type of royalty here. And this is also, if you want to type it out, you can put Christ in here, because, and this would be the latter end of Christ. See, Christ emptied himself in order to become man, so he could be born of a woman, and come into the world to reveal the plan of God. But then he went to the cross. He died, was resurrected, and he went from that sin and death on the cross back to the Father, and he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We see him in Revelation, victorious, who has the keys to death and hell. And here you find Joseph at one point, he was just some schmuck in prison. And now all of a sudden he is arrayed in royal garments. And, he had to have a bath because he would have been stinking. So they had to prepare him. They don't give prisoners regular baths. They don't care what they smell like. And of course, he would have been thin. He wouldn't have had a lot to eat. He probably could see his bones, So, the bottom line of it is here is that you see him coming up from the depths. And he's made second in the land of Egypt. Now, this is amazing. This is a great story. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Now, that's quite a statement. No man is going to do anything except for what Joseph tells him. "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, who is priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." Now, in this, we see him marrying the daughter of an idolatrous priest. He didn't think he was idolatrous. This is what they did in Egypt. They weren't going to recognize the Lord God. But Joseph got this daughter. And I can guarantee you she would have been beautiful. I can guarantee you that. And I can guarantee you, too, that she became a believer after a while with Joseph, because she would have seen that. And, of course, they had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. And, of course, the blessing came through Ephraim. The very blessing that flowed through Abraham flowed through Manasseh. And this is very, very important when we talk about the blessings of Abraham. And it's very important about Ephraim, because Ephraim is mentioned, in the Old Testament quite a bit. So Ephraim plays a prophetic role for the believer. Now, so at any rate, we have in the scriptures, we saw that Christians had the Lord's example, that Christians would see tribulation and trouble. We looked at Joseph, and he was seeing a tribulation and trouble before he got raised up. But see, God is preparing him for something that's coming. And that something is to save his family and what we would call Israel, which was Jacob. And, of course, at the time when Israel finally went into Egypt, at this time, there was only 70 people, including Joseph and his wife and two sons. And so We do have that. That's one of the reasons God moved like that. It's very important because Egypt goes from being a saving and a place of salvation to a place of bondage. And in the same respect, America has been a place for many of redemption. You know, of that place that you could find your dream. You could live here in peace. You could believe, you know, Jews can be a Jew and not worry. Christians can be Christian and not worry about persecution. Everybody pretty much can live and exist here. And of course, you know, in the midst of all this now, America, you know, as it goes down this path into the tribulation, you know, it is not going to always stay this place of deliverance. It's going to be more and more like what Egypt became, and that is a place of bondage. And for many people today, you know, they're in bondage. And it's not that it's America's fault, but America now has become a den of evil and wickedness. And we find this if we get in Revelation 18, the first few verses speaks of Mystery Babylon and some of the characteristics and how the evil finds a refuge in Mystery Babylon. Well, you know, Mystery Babylon doesn't even have to be America, but Mystery Babylon and her filth and her wine is given to all the nations to drink. So it's not just America. All the nations are given over to this. So we find this bondage, this thing happening. And so while Christians live in the world today and think everything's always going to be fine, it's not going to be fine because it's slowly but surely the path is narrowing into what God has declared it to be. And it's going to get here. In Acts 4, 10 through 12, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, of course, this was the man at the gate beautiful who was healed. Peter and John went by him, and it was because of the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Yahshua, Jesus Christ, is the head of the corner. And of course, it's a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That's the built foundation of what God is doing. And he became the head of the corner because when he came, of course, you know, the very Sadducees, the Pharisees, you know, the chief priest and all of his minions, they rejected what Christ was. Matter of fact, it openly says in Scripture, they plotted to get rid of him because they were worried. He was doing all these signs and wonders. They couldn't control him, you know. And of course, he took on the lawyers too. You know, he took them all on when they started coming after him. He says, you're nothing but a bunch of snakes and vipers. So this preacher, you know, he wasn't, you know, a priest after the order of man, that is the Levitical priesthood. He was after the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning and end. That's the type. That's prophecy. Because he was literally had no beginning and end because he's Alpha and Omega. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever, you know, he always was, always will be, always existed and was always there. And of course, this is the fundamental issue here as we move forward. And of course, Peter, of course, you know, when they go around, and that's what happened. You know, they're not dealing with, you know, Jesus walking around anymore because he's gone. And of course, the big problem that they had, and the Jews even came up with some of their own things about this, and they spread rumors that Jesus, in fact, was alive and he left because they had to explain the empty tomb. Remember, there was no tomb. And so, well, where did he go? Well, he rose to the Father, see? And that's the thing. If someone dies, you've got a dead body around. Well, Christ died, but he was raised from the dead. And there was no body. Because it came to the right hand of the Father. And, of course, he's there, ever living to make intercession for the saints. Now, this, again, is what the issue in the world is. And, of course, the world, being head up by Satan, doesn't like that. And he fights against God. And Peter goes on to say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And of course, he says, we must be. Now, see, this is where the fires are lit. This is where the problem, because, see, you know, the apostles, the first apostles were all Jewish. The first church was Jewish. And then, of course, God called Paul, who was Jewish. And he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he got saved. And he started out following what God called him to do, which was to go to the Gentiles. And see, right here, from Pentecost onward, the Christian gospel, Christianity, and our faith is linked totally with the Torah and the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Because Christ fulfilled everything from there. Now, see, here's another one. Now, this is Paul in Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, see, this is the promise, okay? This is where this all is. And this is another reason why the Jews hate this, because they don't like this part of about our faith and our doctrine, that we are Abraham's seed. No, they're Abraham's seed after the flesh. But see, even Paul deals with this, and Scripture deals with this. You know, it wasn't the woman of the flesh that carried the seed. It was the promise. They had promised Abraham that there would be another. And it was that other one. It wasn't Ishmael. It was Isaac. And so this is the issue here. It's not about the flesh. Now see, this is what the Jews want to keep it as, and this is what many people, including Messianics, want to make it about. It is not about being totally Jewish, and it's not about being totally Messianic, and it's not about all of this other, because we're all going to be one in Christ. Male, female, no, there's not going to be male, female. There's not going to be bond or free. There's, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Greek, male, female, bond or free. Because through Christ, because he is that one who is the cornerstone, which the apostles, which brought the new covenant, and the prophets, which pushed forward in the old covenant, but also prophesied of the new covenant which was to come. Christ is the chief cornerstone of all of it, and united them together that way. And of course, here, this goes all the way back. Then are we Abraham's seed, which brings us into that promise. And that is why we talk about the journey of promise. See, because if Christians grow up anemic in their faith, the way most Gentile churches are, they're anemic, and I mean anemic from the Jewish heritage. There is a Jewish heritage in there, and that goes back to Abraham, and that is part of the new covenant, and that is through Christ, and that is what our inheritance is. That's who we are. According to the promise are we heirs. There's nothing in Scripture that tells the New Testament church to throw out the Old Testament, to ignore everything. There's nothing in Scripture that tells you to ignore totally the law. No, you're not saved by law. The law was never meant for that. But Christ didn't come to destroy the law. He says that himself. He came to fulfill the law, and he did. Because it's through the law that we found out, number one, that it's the blood that God had ordained to be the instrument for the atonement because life was in the blood. You needed the law in order to bring forth this redemption, in order to have this to where Christ could fulfill the law, bring in the blood of the covenant so we could be saved because we believe, imputed unto us. Because see, after all, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So we are heirs according to that. Because Abraham believed God and it was imputed, we believe God and it was imputed unto us because we're Christ. Because God had determined, and this is another thing, and this is New Testament, and that is without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You cannot get saved without believing and having faith. Absolutely impossible. And so that is where it's at. You can't just go get dipped in water and run out and say, okay, I'm saved. You have to believe. You have to receive. And you must be born of the Spirit. John chapter 1 and John chapter 3. And then you need to get into Romans 3 through Romans 7 to explain the confession of the sins and understanding more there. There is a lot of things that we need to understand here, but the first thing you need to understand is, Christian, you're not alone here. And you can't just diss the Jews because you think they're all about law and they hate you. And matter of fact, there are Jews out there, ultra-conservatives and ultra-right-wing, that hate Christians and hate who we are. While we support Israel, and you, if you were to go over there, they would persecute you and they would treat you pretty mean because they don't like you. They think you're a false god. They may even try to stone you like they did Paul. But see, they're in ignorance and unbelief. They don't believe this stuff. They think it's wrong. But one of these days, Romans chapter 11, Israel is going to awaken to the truth when the times of the Gentiles are over. This is where we're headed, folks. And it's about time that the Gentile church learned that it's not about just being a bunch of Gentile believers all by ourselves. God had purpose to save both Jews and Christians, Gentiles. And the Gentiles, are all the other races. All the other nationalities. You basically had two. When we look in the Old Testament, you had the Goyim, those who were in the world, the Gentile nations. And then you had the Jews who believed God, for God had chosen Israel from the beginning. And this is why it's so important. And matter of fact, if you can grasp this, it'll actually encourage you, because you understand God's been working in the program all along. And I've taught extensively from the Old Testament. And when I do teach from the Old Testament, clear from Abraham onward, I always point out to you where we find the entrance of the Gentiles, and we've already found it tonight, and that was Joseph marrying into, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Now, see, she did not belong, to any way, shape, or form to Israel, which would be Jacob's clan, or even related to him. Joseph married totally outside. Matter of fact, he was in a total different place. He was in Egypt, which is a type of the world. And so everything about him illustrates what God is doing and is going to do for the Gentiles. You can find this in Types and Shadows. And if you will look, it's plain as the nose on your face. And so that's just one example. There's a lot of examples. God did not just decide to let in the Gentiles because he had nothing else to do. He had always planned that. Now, let's look at Ephesians 2:13 through 17. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now remember, there was a wall, there was a separation. And they couldn't go, the priest could not go into the Holy of Holies whenever he wanted to. He had to go once a year, he could only make the atonement on the Day of Atonement, he had to go in there. It was a holy place, and that's where they met with God for forgiveness of sin. Before he did that, though, he had to have the sacrifice of the blood. The blood had to be applied to the chief priests, and he had to do the same for the priests, and then they could do it for Israel, the atonement, and they had to do this every year. Now, Hebrews gives a good description of this as well. But now through Christ, the divine Son of God who died on the cross, we have come once. He died on the cross once and for all, and his blood is sufficient to cover the sins of all who would believe. And so it says now in verse 14, for he is our peace. See, he's broken that down. When he died on the cross, Scripture says that the curtain in the temple was ripped in half, and that opened the whole thing to the Holy of Holies. See, because there was access. Now we can come into the presence of God through Christ, and we can obtain help and grace in time of need through Christ. That's where we're at today. And that's our hope and our help. That's who we can go to. And this is the God that heals and delivers and saves, among other things, of course. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, he fulfilled the law and the commandments. See, because the law states, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The law says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So without Christ, when you die, you're going to face the judgment. Without Christ, even if you think that you're a good man, the law, it's not your law that matters, it's God's law. And he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinneth is going to die. Now see, that's three strikes and you're out, baby. And it all happens at judgment. Now the second death is where you're going to face all that, the great white throne judgment. But see, the Christians, that has no power over us because we've believed upon Christ. That's because we fulfilled that other part that says without faith it is impossible to please God. Now Paul even talks about the law of faith, which is applied there in that verse. The law of faith. There is a law of faith. And see, for Christians in the Gentile churches who turn around and yell and scream that they don't have to keep law, they're wrong. Because I can tell you, as a Christian, you get into the Ten Commandments, you look at the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now you try having any one of those things. Let's take, for instance, another god. Do you think it's going to work as a Christian if you serve another God? No. You know it and I know it. But how sayest you then that you don't have to keep the law? You do have to keep the law. Now see, the apostles and prophets, they spoke about this. They just didn't teach it the way we see it in some of the the Torah, but they gave you the news. Paul gives you a whole list of it in, where is it, Galatians? And he tells you the lust of the flesh. You can't do those things. And if you get back in Revelation, it also tells you the last chapter. It tells you the things that you don't want to be doing. So while we're saved, there's certain things we need to understand. We're not going to be walking in the flesh. We're different. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in us, and we have risen above that. God has given us the ability to walk above those things and not do them. But if we do sin, 1 John 1:7-9, we have an advocate with the Father. Yes, but we can ask him to forgive us, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there again, Paul says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So sometimes we think that we can go sin so that grace may abound. In other words, we know God's going to forgive us, so we'll just go out and commit adultery. God's going to forgive us anyway. God's not mocked. You try to mock God, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Now see, what I'm telling you is this, is that the promise is very important. And it's high time the Christian understand that this is a holy God, that this really happened, and it happened to bring all of his people together. He didn't come just to save Baptists. He didn't come just to save Pentecostals. He didn't come just to save Americans. He came to save Jews. He came to save Muslims. He came to save Hindus. He came to save atheists and agnostics. He came to save human beings who call out to him. Now, see, he commands all men everywhere to repent, but they're not all going to do that. Now, and so in the next verse that says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, and came and preached peace to you, which were all afar off, to them that were which were nigh. And the Gentiles were far off. And of course, this is Ephesians, so it's the Apostle Paul. He went to the Gentiles, and that's what he's talking about. The Gentiles were afar off. They didn't know anything about all the promises. They didn't know about the blessings. They didn't know about the cursings. They didn't know about nothing. They didn't keep the law. They didn't want to keep the law. They didn't know anything about it. And many of the Gentiles are still like that. But see, the bottom line of it is as believers and as Christians, we have roots that go back to Abraham. Now, let's go back to Exodus. We're going to talk about Israel in Egypt for a minute. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now, Joseph by this time is gone. And the king that rose up did not know Joseph. All he saw was a whole bunch of the children of Israel. Remember, they came in and they were just 70 people. But see, in this land, God had blessed the children of Israel, and they had more kids than you could shake a stick at. Israel was growing by this time leaps and bounds. And so this new king got up and became head, and he started looking around, and he saw the children of Israel, and he said, "Dear God in heaven." That's my word. He said something else, but you get the drift. You know, if I don't do something with these people, they're going to take over. If I don't stop them from multiplying, you know, our country, we're going to lose it. Almost sounds like America, don't it? But, and he said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." Now, they're not mightier. Okay, as far as with the sword. Israel didn't go there to do anything like that. But they were more. They had a lot of them, and they were mightier in the fact that they were able to reproduce and have more kids. Now, see, over in Europe, they've got that problem, and I forgot which nation it was that the politicians came out and said that you need to start getting serious. I think it was Poland. Start getting serious about having kids. That you have to make an all-out effort to have as many children as you can have in order to get this country back on a level that we need to get back on. Because they needed their people to reproduce. See, even by the numbers in America, and this is what many blacks know, this is what many Hispanics know, and this is what many Muslims know. Because the Muslims, the Catholics, among others, have large families. Most of your basic white people in America, they have 1-point-some-odd children. And so you look at an average Catholic family, they got about 8 or 9 kids hanging around. It's just a matter of numbers. Before long, there's going to be a lot of them and few of us. Now, when the king of Egypt looked out, he saw all them Israelis out there, them Jews. and he got scared. So he said, "Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Now, see, the Jews are not going to do that. They weren't going to do that. But yet, that's what they were afraid of. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Now see, many times I've said that even with Christians in persecution. See, the persecution during the Roman Empire, there was 10 major persecutions. But see, the thing of it is, by the time you get to the end of the Roman Empire, actually Christianity became the religion under Constantine for the entire Roman Empire. So Christianity won out. Now see, here in Exodus, the more they afflicted the Jews, the more the Jews actually had more kids and multiplied. So under the stress and under this bondage, the Jews actually prospered. Prospering under persecution. That's an amazing thought. Well, that's exactly what happened. And so this is why, in the end, they wound up being afflicted even more. And of course, see, the problem that you run in at, you know, see, and this is really the type here as well. See, if the world is too good to you, you're going to want to stick around. Now, see, God didn't redeem you, you know, for this world. He has another world for you. We are in the world and we are not of the world. You know, the love of the world is an enmity with God or against God. Now see, the children of Israel were doing really good in Egypt and they were prospering. Why would they want to go and fulfill any promise that God gave Abraham if they were so comfortable? They wouldn't have. So God sent this, but in the same token, he blessed them because he wanted them to grow and multiply. But see, in the end, the taskmasters, and of course, over long servitude, they actually, with God's will, went through a tribulation, went through trouble. They became oppressed, and they cried out to God, and eventually God sent the deliverer Moses to get him out of Egypt and bring him into the promised land. Now you see, Christian, you may love America, and I'm speaking to America here. You may be in some other country right now. But see, that country is not what God saved you for. See, there is another place much better than what we have here. And God does send tribulation and trouble if you get too comfortable. Now, I know many people, they don't like that, but I'm telling you, you can find it in Scripture. It doesn't mean there can't be a place where you're on fire for God and your bills are paid, you're taking care of yourself, and everything's fine. But there's going to be trouble and tribulation and anxieties. That's what the world is. Now, let's look at Acts 7, 17 through 19. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Now see, that is the Acts version of what I just read in Exodus. Till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. And they did oppress the children. Matter of fact, even when the Lord was born, there was an effort to kill the young kids then too. So we have another type, likened unto what happened with Christ and again what happened in Egypt with the children of Israel. God is a God of types. He has prophecies and foreshadows. And when you see this written, you need to pay attention to it. Now, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Now you should know this one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, or any other creature, rather, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now see, you cannot separate the Christian faith from tribulation, distress, and persecution. And then verse 36, especially recently in the Middle East, in 2014, 2015, they were killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. There is that place in the will of God where that happens. And Christians get killed for their faith. It happens that the children of Israel went into bondage and in captivity in Egypt, the very place that was the place of salvation and redemption for them, place where they grew into a nation at, became their bondage. Became, you know, they became servants and slaves. So that they needed deliverance. And so, while we do face these things, there's still another major tribulation coming. And when we get into Egypt and go through the tribulation and how God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, you're going to find types and shadows of the tribulation which is coming. Now, I frankly don't care whether you believe in the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I don't even get into that stuff. If you believe in the pre-trib, have fun. You know, from my standpoint, if there's a pre-trib and I can go early, hey man, that just makes me happy. But I go according to the Word of God. And I'm not just going to blow out, what would you call it? Standard, theological, conservative doctrine that a lot of your dispensational churches throw out. You have got a whole passel of churches that have no clue what is going on and what's going to happen. And they're not prepared. And many of them aren't going to be prepared because they don't even want to listen. And that's why, you know, there's another truth here. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now see, the Lord gave messages to seven churches in Revelation. And you're going to find that phrase, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's something to hear, supernaturally, what God is saying. Your flesh ain't going to like it because this is of the Spirit. Lukewarm churches ain't going to like it. But this isn't about doctrine. This isn't about denominations. This is about those who serve the Lord and love Him. I don't care one iota what denomination you belong to. I don't care whether you think you're a Muslim, whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Sikh, whether you're an agnostic. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me what you are. God came to save all men. And if you want to be saved, there's one way, through Christ. I don't care what the other churches say, and I don't care what other pastors say, I don't care what the evangelists say. I'm telling you the Word of God. God cuts through all the man-made platitudes that we've erected. It was simple for Christ. And especially when he caught the woman caught in adultery and they threw her down as if, oh boy, they didn't know. They were horrified, they sounded like. But they knew what this woman did. Dear God in heaven, they knew exactly what she did. They never bothered her before, but in order to catch Jesus, well, we're going to take her and we're going to throw him down to see if we can catch him. Well, what did he say? That you, those of you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And they all, beginning with the oldest, left. Because they knew, every one of them, they were guilty. They had sins and a conscience. So then he asked her, where are your accusers? Woman, she says, I have none. He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more, he said. See, that's the key. Go and sin no more. He gave her mercy and forgiveness right there. See, she was thrown down. See, now this cuts to the chase. And when we talk about following the journey of promise, whether the Jews like it or not, we have been grafted in through Christ. And we can go back to the promises of Abraham just like the Jews can. We are there, baby, whether they like it or not. And Christian Jews are there as well, whether you like it or not. Because God does not hate the Jews. He has not forsaken the Jews. And God has not given up on the Jews. And there's many things to be done to save them that God is going to do. And he is going to bring them into his kingdom, whether you like it or not. So this is the journey. And this is why we're going through this. To help you understand a few things. And of course, if there's any understanding, we need to do it. We need to understand that, you know, and we make it so difficult. You know, we have all these traditions of men and platitudes and everything else. But there is a way for you. And there is a way for those who would believe, no matter who they are. And God just didn't begin this, you know, a while ago. He's been working on it before the foundation of the world. And this God is reminding Christians what he has been doing. This God is reminding Jews what he has been doing. And he's going to do his will. He's going to make his redemptive plan work. And with that, we're going to be closing it down. We're coming to the end. But stick with us on this broadcast. This has been part two. And we do have more. And we are going to be getting in. And we have been getting into the word in the Torah as well as in the Brit Kaddish, the New Testament. It's the whole counsel of God. Understanding the journey God has laid out for us. We're not enemies. And we shouldn't be enemies in our churches, and we should not be enemies with the Jews, and the Jews should not be enemies with us. Now, there are enemies of Christians everywhere, but there are also Muslims and Hindus and agnostics and many others who get saved and come to know our great God and Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is why God is in the saving business. He commands all men everywhere to repent, and there is that scarlet line, that scarlet thread of redemption that flows and winds all the way through the Bible. cover to cover, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. One day, folks, we shall rule and reign with him. We shall be in that kingdom, and the former things will have passed away. And all your sufferings and all your trials will be gathered together in a tear when you see your Lord, and he will wipe away that tear and put it in a jar. Dear God in heaven, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those that hear your word. Let them understand it. Let them, Father, be blessed. O God, feed them and prepare their hearts. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, that's good. Well, I like this teaching, Dana.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm glad we're on this path with the Lord.
Yeah.
You look around in the world and see all the wickedness and horrible stuff going on, and
I know.
We know we have the Lord, and in the end, we'll be with him.
Yep. It's hard to believe. But thank God we do have hope.
Yes, amen.
And I just love the Word of God, the way this thing flows together, the way, you know, God planned it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and when you see the scriptures lined up together the way we've been doing it, and this has been just the intro to show you how it works, because we're going to get into the actual coverage of it, and then we're going to see how it works in real time. This study's not over, and by the time it's done, you will understand exactly what I'm telling you. So, well, at any rate, we're going to have to be going. Tower, say good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We're thankful for all you do, and God bless you for all you do for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
We'll see you next Thursday night for Battle Lines.
Yep. Shalom, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next week. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.